Welcome to Minute. I'm one of your hosts, Jamie Spicer, and I'm here with
Jennifer Spicer.
And we're continuing on the thyroid talk.
Yeah, so the last episode was a lot. It was a lot to unpack, and it was more into the science and the reasoning behind it. This one is going to be solely based on how it affects your appearance and the signs and symptoms to look out for, because like we talked about, sometimes the serum labs are just not enough and you have to dig in a little bit deeper and really dig through what might be going on with you.
Because you got to remember, it's not just about the numbers on the paper. You have to ask the client, how are they feeling symptom-wise and feeling-wise? That's a big telltale, because not everybody's going to need the same dosage to feel the same way.
Yeah, or not everybody. Your optimal might not be, we were talking about the free T3 and the range is like 2.2 to 4.4, something like that. Your optimal range might be closer to 4.4. Mine might be closer to 3.5. And so there are, above 3.5 is ideal, but you really want to have a good relationship with knowing your body and really understanding if you're exhausted. How is that presenting itself? Where are you exhausted? Does that mean that you have poor memory recall? Does that mean that you have issues with cognition? Are you losing your train of thought? It sounds like it all might be the same, but it's not. You really got to dig in. And so I really wanted to start off with how it can affect you with aesthetics, because first, that's my first passion, and I'm an aesthetic provider. I've been an esthetician since 2004, and so I've been looking at skin and hair, and I remember I would see these women come in, and they would have no lateral brow or no tail of their brow from the arch of their brow down, and I'd be like, what is going on? Did they just tweeze their eyebrows or over-tweeze their eyebrows? And they'd be like, my hair is falling out. And then it started to happen to me. It even started to happen to you, and that is one of the telltale clinical signs when you're doing an assessment on someone, or when they come in and they say, my eyebrows are thinner, specifically the lateral tail of my eyebrow. And sometimes in some patients, it also might be their eyelashes, or they might have thinning hair, especially in certain places around the front, like the, what is this called? I can't even
peaks.
Think. Yeah, the peaks. Thank you. I can't think tonight. But those are all signs that your thyroid might be underactive.
Right. What are some signs that you're that you might be a little over, like if they're on medication?
Actually, I meant to say this in the last one. You can also have hair loss if you have hyperthyroidism.
Right, right.
You don't want to have too much of a thyroid. If you have too much thyroid, it means that your eyeballs are bulging out. Usually you're going to get a goiter. You're going to lose excessive weight. You're going to be going to the bathroom all the time, because low thyroid causes constipation. It slows everything down. Remember we talked about T3 revs everything up. So if you have too much T3, you have like your tremors, you shake, you have anxiety, you have palpitations, your hair starts to fall out. It's interesting that it's hypo and hyper cause the hair loss, but it's a different type of hair loss.
Right, right.
As far as from aesthetic reasoning or signs and symptoms to look out for from an aesthetic point of view, dry skin, dry brittle nails. And then also I have found a correlation to puffy eyes. So like puffy under eyes and low thyroid. Now that's not to be confused with bulging eyes, because thyroid eye disease is something completely different, but this is more just edema or swelling around your eyes. And that's from the neck up. Obviously your skin can be dry all over and your toenails can be dry as well. But now I want to dig into what happens in the body, because this is your realm.
The big one again is going to be, you're going to be gaining weight. You're going to be one of those ones like, I'm eating very clean, probably the cleanest I've ever ate. And I'm doing cardio more than I ever have. I've switched from fasted cardio to post-workout cardio across the board. And I'm still not getting the result I want. And we've talked about this before. Remember, if you're putting forth the effort, giving it 100%, and you're not getting the desired outcome, we're coming back to gut health and hormones. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's going to be a thyroid function. Mm-hmm. And again, weight is going up, even if you're dieting or you can't lose weight. And then again, tired and fatigued all the time. So I said in the last episode, it almost mimics some of those symptoms of testosterone being low. You're going to notice an increase in body fat. And those are going to be the big things with that. Of course, then like Jen said, it's going to slow down the GI tract. So you're going to be getting constipated. And remember, when we're constipated, we need to be going to the bathroom every single day. I think people don't realize that. It's funny how many people think it's normal to go every 2, 3, or 4 days. It's not. Like, you need to be going at least once a day, sometimes 2 to 3 times a day. Constipated, not going to the bathroom, then you're not detoxing properly. You're going to be holding estrogen because that's one way of getting rid of estrogen is through bowel movements. So think about that. And then I had said in the last episode as a reference, you want your body like your house hot, like you don't want your house. You want your body like it's 90 degrees in your house and you're sweating sitting there on the couch. You don't want it to be like it's 50 degrees. You're sitting there freezing and you're cold.
Yeah. So ladies, I know this is a thing for us, but one of the first signs, and we didn't go into this, so I want to go into this on this episode, but because there's a relationship with estrogen and the sex hormones in relation to females, but I know if you're warming your hands or feet on your husband and Jamie hates it,
oh my God,
you might have a thyroid issue. If they feel like you have blocks of ice touching them,
literally, that
it might be a circulatory or a thyroid issue. And it's because the thermostat is too low.
It's like you got dry ice on your feet sometimes. Like before, we got your thyroid going, but it's like someone put dry ice on me. I think it burned me.
I know. It's a very big difference. I actually don't have that issue anymore now that my thyroid is regulated. You know, and we talked about low energy, exhaustion, cognition. We talked about the weight gain and the constipation. We also talked about the aesthetic, you know, things that you might notice, thinner eyebrows, thinner eyelashes, thinner, drier hair, dry skin, and then also dry, brittle nails. And like I said, the puffy eyes, the edematous eyes. But there is a very big link, and we didn't dig into it. I want to dig into it right now because you brought it up and you've reminded me, but there is a link between the thyroid and estrogen. There's actually estrogen receptors in the thyroid. And so there are issues when it comes to a low thyroid. You can have menstrual irregularities. You can have infertility. You can have PCOS. And a lot of people don't realize that in addition to your overall well-being and nutrition and the neurotransmitters, about 80% of them are in your gut. You have them all over your body, but your thyroid and your hormones are really responsible for some of those. So if you're having, if you're having some issues with depression and just low state of well-being, that might be the issue.
It's nicknamed the master gland.
Yeah, it is.
For a reason.
And as women go through menopause, right? So there's such a relationship with estrogen. You can actually have a hyperthyroid condition related to estrogen, and you can have a hypothyroid issue related to estrogen. So you really just want to make sure that who's ever doing your care, if you are postmenopausal, you're going to have to deal with getting your sex hormones balanced in addition to the thyroid to optimally lose weight, because all of those hormones play a role in metabolic function and also just composition. But you really do want to make sure that you're going and looking at the entire picture.
And I talked in the last episode about we went to Miami for the A4M conference, Age Management Preventive Health Conference. And they always throw out these little nuggets and they call them pearls. And one of the ones we walked away with is, if you're one of those ones that, you know, your energy's okay in the morning, even if you're on thyroid medication, but you're bombing out around 1 or 2 and you become addicted to caffeine to get you going. One little nugget we learned is that certain medications only have a 6-hour half-life. Mm-hmm. So sometimes splitting your dosage up a.m. and around 1 o'clock. And for me, we've been doing it since we've been getting back. And let me tell you what, game changer. Absolute
game changer. And you don't even have to increase your dose. But also, even if you're just on a thyroid supplement support that has L-tyrosine and selenium, zinc, and iodine, you can also split it up. I would not recommend doing it after 1 or 2 p.m. because it could actually keep you up because it's revving you up. But remember, if you're crashing out in the afternoon and you're then compensating that with overdoing caffeine, you're just digging yourself a deeper hole to get out of. You're stressing the adrenals. And like Jamie said, it's all working in an algorithm. You got to look at gut health, adrenals, thyroid, and then hormones. And you really got to pay attention to all of that.
And one of the dead signs I've even learned with myself, and it's when I like my caffeine, I'm not going to lie, I like my pre-workouts, don't do them as much anymore. But one of the things I always know and to tell clients to pay attention to is if you drink caffeine, whether it's in a pre-workout, whether it's in coffee, whether it's whatever form that you're taking it is, and you're now more tired, you're probably sitting there, your adrenals are screaming at you, enough's enough. And then also remember, your adrenals are being taxed if you start craving salt or sugar.
I was just going to say that.
And if you're craving both, you better get on some adrenal support.
Yeah. And we take advantage. And I know people are going to say, oh, adrenal fatigue isn't a word. There are things that are just words that are easier to say. If your adrenals are really being taxed, they do get fatigued. You have things that are called that those adrenal glands produce hormones that are then precursor hormones to your sex hormones. And it really can really mess you up.
Just say that the adrenals are overly stressed then. And they don't want to believe in adrenal fatigue. They say they're overly stressed, which is why you're having these symptoms and why you're craving these things.
Yes.
Because guess what? When they're not overly stressed, you're not craving those things.
No, adrenal stress or adrenal fatigue will downregulate the thyroid at some point because it's all connected. Everything is connected, and we have to remember that. So if you are all of a sudden experiencing dry skin and dry hair, don't just think that, oh, this happens with aging, or don't just think, oh, it may have been this, and don't just brush it off and go to try to get a quick fix. Yes, you can still do that. And I love to help people feel better by looking better. But I also like to make sure that if I have a patient that has puffy under eyes, or if they have a thinning lateral brow, then I'm also ordering labs and I'm digging in and I'm helping them fix the problem from the inside out.
Which is why I love exactly what we do and why I think everybody should. You have to treat the body as a whole. Mm-hmm. You just can't, just like we want to talk about, and I know we seem like we bash, you just can't give a medication to fix a problem. You got to get to the root of it. You just can't prescribe hormones if you're not treating the body as a whole. You don't get to pick and choose and take snapshots of blood work or the things you want just to show that you're right when you're not looking at everything as a whole.
Yes. And let me be really clear. You made me think of something. I also, as an aesthetic provider, do feel like there are areas where I need to stay in my own lane. I have evolved from an aesthetic provider to a precision medicine provider, and I do both. And I make sure that I align myself with people and other peers to allow me to do the job in a way that I know is morally and ethically right. Not saying that I might not ever miss something, or I could have done something better or whatever. But if I have something going on, I've had mentors that help me. I have a collaborative physician. I do not get on the bandwagon to give people Ozempic just because it was the thing. I will not give someone thyroid if they don't need it. If you want to just remain an aesthetic provider, that's great. I actually give you credit for knowing what your lane is and wanting to stay in it. It became personal to me because of my own thyroid issue and because of other family members that have thyroid issues
and realize.
Yes. And so for me, I've always wanted to understand why I had acne. That's why I didn't just get on Accutane. I used it, whatever. But what I'm trying to say is if you are an aesthetic provider and if you catch these things, just have a referring physician that you refer your patients out to and you're still doing right by them. You're still doing it. You're doing what they need and you're helping them from the inside out.
1000% agree on that. All right.
That was my tangent.
Going off.
Sorry.
We've got to have an episode just on that. But I think in the last two episodes, we really addressed a lot with the thyroid. If you want to know more about how we do things and why we do things and why we're so adamant about the thyroid, not just running to, again, just prescribe a hormone or two, because that's not how we do it. And you brought up the Ozempic thing and the semaglutide. We've been doing that for a long time. And that's another requirement in order to get on that medication. You have to be doing a nutrition program.
And you have to get labs. And we optimize your thyroid.
So again, that's why I love what we do. We treat the body as a whole. We look at it as a whole. But also even what you pointed on too, our egos, and we're humble enough to know that we still have resources where we'll ask out, are we going on the right path with this? Am I looking at this patient with the right set of eyes? Do you see anything different than what I'm seeing? Mm-hmm. Because we want to make sure that we're treating the patient the best that we can. We make sure that they meet with a dietitian. We emphasize training. When someone is coming in for facials and they're noticing that they're having acne issues and it's hormonal, they refer them back over to our side. Again, everything is looked as a whole.
Yes. And if you don't live in our area, because we get to go to these conferences and meet physicians, we do have a database of physicians that we could gladly send you their contact info. The reality is all we want to do is help people by the best we can. And I do believe that when you get into the service industry, whether it be aesthetics, training, dietitians, nutritionists, and physicians, Your ultimate goal is to help people. Sometimes getting caught in the rat race, we get so stuck and we need to sometimes take a step back and realize, okay, how can I expand my knowledge? But remember, if you're a provider or a trainer or whoever, why you started to do this, and just get back to that.
And the biggest way we can help is not just help the people at our facility, but also to take what we have learned, and we've been blessed to meet people like Dr. DeSilva and Dr. Becky and stuff, getting their information. They've shared it with us. So our job is to then educate other people also. And that's what we're doing on this platform, is we're trying to share our knowledge and our education to get as much of it out there. So you can then start looking at different ways how you might be able to help yourself and question, why am I not being these labs pulled? Why am I not being treated this way? So you can start asking those people also, hey, have you thought, why are you not pulling this? Not that we can steal everybody. We can't help everybody out there. So our job is to educate, and that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and it's community over competition. And gosh, like every single time I talk to Dr. Becky, and literally we talk multiple times a day, I'm learning something new. There's just so much to know. Our knowledge of the thyroid will expand probably even tomorrow. It's about continuing to try to expand your knowledge and continuing to try to help other people. And that's it.
That's it for this episode. Thank you for tuning in to us, and thank you for always supporting us. If you want to follow us, it's at the Jamie Spizer or at the Jennifer Spizer or at Precision Life. If you'd like to call and set up a consultation with me, myself, Hannah, or Jake, or anybody that works there, 314-786-5389.
Just head to our website, precisionlife.io.
Head to the website at precisionlife.io or email at precisioninfo@precisionlife.io.
We'll put all of that in the links below to the podcast as well. Thank you.
I'm out.